At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid. I am Kevin Walsh alongside Donnie Wrightside on this Monday morning. And the NFL has certainly picked up breaking news this morning from the desk of Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport that the Houston Texans are now willing to listen and taking phone calls on their star quarterback, Deshaun Watson. It would likely take, according to them, at least three first-round picks and then some to land Deshaun Watson. We also received an update in terms of his availability, noting that any team that were to be meeting that asking price would have to feel comfortable about his availability for the coming seasons. And Pelissero went on to note that the NFL has yet to place him on the exempt list and the civil cases won't be going to trial this year, which to me would indicate Watson will be in play this coming season. We've talked about his 50-1 number to win the NFL MVP, which will likely be on the move. But now, Donnie, we got to figure out the where, because it certainly doesn't seem like Houston.
Yeah, and it looks like the 2021 season, as you're pertaining to here, maybe it's free and clear for Deshaun Watson. The only thing free and clear is Deshaun Watson's probably not going to take a snap for the Houston Texans. Now, we are gambling men out here, and like they said, odds on many things. This can't linger long for the Texans. Like, the NFL didn't say, look, you can't show up to camp because you have ongoing legalities. We're going to put you on an exempt list. That didn't happen. The Texans welcomed him into the organization again as he showed up for camp, because why? He wants to get paid. You can't just tell a guy, hey, we don't want you here, but we're going to fine you $50,000 and not pay you your bonus that's expected this year once you show up to camp. So now we're led to believe that Deshaun Watson's going to be in that facility for more than, I don't know, 48, 72 hours, maybe by the end of this week. He's not going to practice. So what is he doing there? So let's just say this doesn't get worked out, Kevin, over the next 48 to 72 hours. Are we led to believe that over the next 2 weeks where he's just going to be hanging out at the facility but getting paid his full salary while telling the organization, I'm not playing for you anymore? If I'm looking right now, Kevin, as it stands on Monday morning where this news just broke, now the Texans are like, all right, our phone lines weren't working out here. Nobody was picking up the phone. We weren't answering anything. To now, all of a sudden, hello, this is Houston Texans. How can we help you? Yeah, hey, it's Howie Roseman of the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm looking to make a deal with you now. This is not going, that's going to be something that is going to be strung out over the next couple weeks or before game one of the regular season. This has all the mojo moving forward now, Kevin. I would not be surprised that we're going to do a show this week between Monday and Friday where we're not talking about Deshaun Watson's final destination and where he's going to play in 2021. Would not surprise me one bit.
I think it makes a lot of sense, right? Because if a team is going to make this move for Watson, you want to do it sooner than later, right? You want to get him in that building and start to get familiar with all of the people around that organization. The Eagles have been rumored to be interested in Watson. There was a story that came out very recently from Peter King saying that the Eagles have been eyeing up Deshaun Watson. Maybe they would prefer to wait a season, but if he's available now, then you might have to strike
Now, we've heard the Denver Broncos linked to Deshaun Watson numerous times. Former teammates that now play in Denver saying they've reached out to Watson, saying he wants to be there. Clearly, there are people in that Bronco organization that want to upgrade the quarterback position. Let's bring the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks to all those that are listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, the Mightier 1090, all of our radio affiliates out there, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Rideside with you on this Monday morning, reacting to the news that Deshaun Watson could be on his way out of Houston sooner than later, as the Texans are taking phone calls and asking price of at least three first-round picks is out there. Donnie, let me throw out a scenario to you, though, right now. We try and figure out who is going to need a quarterback. We are deep into, obviously, the typical calendar when you would be making a move like this. Why not a three-team trade that sees the Green Bay Packers replace Aaron Rodgers with Deshaun Watson?
Well, the fact that Aaron Rodgers is not going to go to the Houston Texans. I mean, that's, he might as well retire than go down to your rebuilt team. Who's the third team?
I'm thinking, right, if you're the Denver Broncos, you can still land Aaron Rodgers, right? And if you're the Houston Texans, you just bring all the assets in. Are we really sure that Green Bay is going to do this whole Jordan Love thing? Like, if you're the Green Bay Packers now, I think you got to be making a phone call, because, Donnie, if Watson moves to Denver, this guy's going to retire.
It's there's so much food for thought going, which is great, because you just spitball and you're trying to see what makes some actual sense here, when meanwhile NFL teams are probably trying to delve into this. You are correct, but the fact that I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the move. I think that, you know, the Green Bay Packers are more likely, oh, he's going to retire, and then say we'll call his bluff and then let him retire, because we're still going to pocket a lot of money as long as you have fans back in the stands. But you're right, when you look at what Aaron Rodgers wants to do with Love, the backup quarterback right now, he's trying to insulate himself and say, you guys messed this pick up, now I'm going to cement it where he's never going to take a snap in Green Bay. It's only going to be me. You got some wild stuff to talk about over the next couple days here. But a three-team trade, maybe a little far-fetched. I'm looking at two lead dogs here, whether it goes to Denver or the Philadelphia Eagles. And keep in mind also, teams such as the Texans don't want to trade in their division or in their conference. Maybe the Philadelphia Eagles possibly would be a favorite in the clubhouse right now.
Also important to note that Deshaun Watson does have a full no-trade clause. It is hard to imagine, though, that there would be a team willing to meet that asking price, and Watson says, I'm good, figure it out, get somebody new. But we just also mentioned the Aaron Rodgers news, because apparently he might retire. A lot more to talk about on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid. Following the breaking news around Deshaun Watson, but it is not the only piece of star quarterback news that we need to get into. Over the weekend, there was a story that Aaron Rodgers this week, could you imagine if this plays out? There was a story that Aaron Rodgers this week will announce retirement. If in the next 5 days, Aaron Rodgers retires and Deshaun Watson gets traded, everyone's brains will very likely explode here. Donnie has been very unwavering in his position on what Aaron Rodgers is actually going to do. So, Donnie, I will ask you, what was your reaction to the story that Rodgers is mulling retirement and potentially could make an announcement this week?
Yeah, so he's mulling retirement, and he could make an announcement that why didn't make it 2 months ago? Why didn't he make it 2 weeks ago? When he was in Hawaii, how about a nice little Instagram flash of him, Miles Teller, his girlfriend, and, you know, hanging out somewhere in some tropical location. Hey, guys, it was a fun run, like sort of like Conor McGregor would do, right? Like, hey, negotiations aren't going well. You know what? I'm retiring. Oh, no, don't retire. And then a day later, hey, I just signed a brand new deal here. There's no way he's retiring. And I guess I'm going to be alone on this hill because the simple fact that we were doing shows last week before the weekend and the books were taking numbers down because they anticipated Rodgers retiring next week. You don't think that would catch fire around in league circles here? You don't think Aaron Rodgers would have mentioned that and said, I'm going to hold my own press conference, but you know what? It's Thursday. I'll retire next week, but, you know, give me the weekend here. I just want to hang out with my friends, and then next week I'll retire from the Green Bay Packers and shock the world all over again. I don't think that is going to take place. I still think Aaron Rodgers will be under center. He just needs his ego massaged a little bit. Hey, Aaron, we're sorry. Or here's a financial apology, as they like to say. 2 years, $90 million. You're the highest paid quarterback. Jordan Love is not going to be anywhere near the football field. And you know, we're going to go out and make a wide receiver trade or get you another weapon here to try to make up for the wrongs that we've done or perceived wrongs that you think is going to take place. There's no way, shape, or form Aaron Rodgers is going to retire from the NFL, specifically, Kevin, with a team as good as the Green Bay Packers and as weak as that division is here. He's getting up there in age. He can still make another run of the Super Bowl. He's not retiring. Can't be.
I really hope he sends a thanks for the cheddar, I'm out tweet. I mean, it would just be A-plus stuff from Aaron Rodgers if he does just the full McGregor. Like, again, if you're just take the McGregor role and retire a couple of times if you're Aaron Rodgers. Here's the thing, though, and I remain significantly more skeptical that Aaron Rodgers will be under center week one for the Green Bay Packers than Donnie. I do not think he is retiring. Like, we, again, things have moved around. It was going to be hot or not. Aaron Rodgers will retire. Absolutely not. He just won MVP. Like, he just won most valuable player. He has talked about looking at Brady playing till, you know, forever. And Rodgers wants to do the same. I think this is another leverage play here from Aaron Rodgers. In the same way that Conor McGregor would always try to retire to make sure that he got the fight or the money or the opponent that he wanted from the UFC, I think Aaron Rodgers is having to go probably, Donnie, deeper into his bag of tricks than anticipated to get his way in Green Bay. The thing, though, that does remain very difficult, at least for me to try to figure out here, is what exactly does Aaron Rodgers want? Above all else, does he want to play for a new organization? Does he have an ideal organization in mind? Is there a dollar amount that can fix this whole thing? Or do people in that front office need to no longer be in that front office to get 12 back to Green Bay?
I agree. I think it's more about respect for Aaron Rodgers, where maybe they're not listening to him and he's trying to pull that, you know, Trump card out that says, look, I am the man, the myth, the legend here in Green Bay. This is my team. Why do you think we're good? It's because of me. Did you ever see this team without me on the football field over the past couple of years? Yeah, exactly. I should be calling the shots right now. But if you're looking from an Aaron Rodgers perspective here, he can't want out of Green Bay. Now, before, would I agree that he should want out of Green Bay? Yes. When you know who was looking at him, the San Francisco 49ers and the Los Angeles Rams. If you're looking to get out of Green Bay, you're going to go to a ready-made championship spot to make a run deep. So now when those options now are off the table for this year, Aaron Rodgers is going to force his way. Hey, no disrespect here. I'm an Eagles fan. To Philadelphia, who barely could win any games last year, and that's the situation I'm going to go to? Or how about go to Denver and go toe-to-toe with Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes? Look at the division Aaron Rodgers plays in. He's a legend in that town. Andy Dalton? Okay. You know, Jared Goff? Okay. I mean, look, Kirk Cousins? You walk into the division championship, which gives you a higher seed in the playoffs, to win another Super Bowl, which is what you want to do. Going to Philadelphia or Denver doesn't improve your odds of getting back to the Super Bowl at 40. Kevin, if he was 32 years old, hey, you know what? I'm the best player in football. I will be for the next 5 years. Put me on any team, and in 3 years, we're going to make a Super Bowl run. Why would you want out of Green Bay when if you put him back under center week one, Kevin? They're going to win 12 or 13 football games and possibly the number one overall seed, where everything has to go through Green Bay and another Super Bowl. I can't imagine him wanting out so bad at this point. It doesn't matter where I go. Just send me. I don't believe it.
You know, it's fascinating because LaFleur has been there for 2 years. They've won the division both times. They've won 13 games both times. They've been to the NFC Conference Championship both times. You're absolutely right. There is nowhere else he is being moved to within reason where it will be a better situation in terms of winning. I don't think it helps, though, that apparently Davante Adams is growing in a similar direction to Rodgers in terms of being displeased with this organization. Or perhaps, again, Devontae's like, I'm not committing until I know 12's coming back. Why would I ever commit to do that unless he's back under center? And maybe they would do it all together. We'll talk about the win total because the win total thing is fascinating. But let me just bring up right now, Donnie, the odds to win the NFC North have finally shifted. Green Bay remained a minus money favorite to win this thing for the length of it all. And since it's from when it has been posted up until this weekend. But now the Packers are joint favorites at plus 150 with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's hedging their bets at this point because you're seeing Aaron Rodgers dug in. There's a lot of fluidity, so to speak, now in the NFL markets with the Deshaun Watson news. I still think they are going to be the best team at the division. And, Kevin, I know you've talked about this throughout the offseason, which is an interesting point. I've actually heard you say, like, even if Aaron Rodgers is not back, you still would bet the Green Bay Packers now to win the division at a plus 150 price. And I almost tend to agree with you because what are we looking at from top to bottom? Do we think the Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell are just going to come out of nowhere at Jared Goff? We don't think that, right? The Chicago Bears with Andy Dalton, and if that goes south, they're going to throw a rookie in Justin Fields in there. They can't possibly win it. And then you're always looking up top. I love Mike Zimmer. I like the Minnesota football organization as a whole. But the fact they still have Kirk Cousins out here, we've seen them lose in big spots to teams not even trying to win in Week 16 so they can get into the playoffs, being the Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings just a few short years ago. So when I look at that division here, Green Bay is a really good football team. Do I think they'll win the division with Love? No. They're still going to be competitive. But if Aaron Rodgers, again, if you're under the ilk that I am, that he will be under center, and now you're getting plus 150 to win that division, will that be not the biggest coup of all time if Aaron Rodgers by next week says, hey, again, I keep on bringing this point up. Aaron Rodgers is a mad scientist. No doubt in my mind, Aaron comes back to camp. They shove 25 reporters in his face with cameras rolling and microphones and say, well, what happened in the offseason? I don't know where you guys got any of this story. I've always wanted to be here. Now let's go out and win an NFL championship. And you'll sit at a plus 150 with the biggest smile on your face, Kevin, to win that division.
Look, first of all, on that plus 150 number, if Rodgers comes back, they might finally open that CLV window that Donnie and I have been looking for to give you your money if Rodgers comes back under center. If Rodgers doesn't come back, there's the scenario in which, because they traded him, they get back a competent piece. Look, I'm already starting three-team trade rumors here right now. Let's get that wheel spinning. But what if a Derek Carr comes back or just another competent quarterback? And again, the worst-case scenario is you need Jordan Love to beat out Kirk Cousins. Look, I'm not doing the Andy Dalton, Jared Goff thing. I'm not doing it. Really interesting stuff. We will talk about their team win total and a lot more next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. We're going to bring in some take it or leave it. Still very NFL-based, still very relevant to all of the big news of the day. I want to start with the Green Bay Packers win total here. One of my favorite moves I think I've ever seen the FanDuel Sportsbook pull. Rumors come out that all sportsbooks are pulling down their Green Bay Packer futures win totals because his retirement is impending. The FanDuel Sportsbook then, for the first time all offseason, offers up a Green Bay Packers win total. A tremendous pro wrestling-esque move from the FanDuel Sportsbook. That number, Donnie, 8.5 wins. Take it or leave it on Green Bay over 8.5 wins.
I mean, is this the easiest question we've ever been asked on Take It or Leave It throughout the history of the early line? 8.5 wins. I want to take it at 13.5 wins because I know my guy Aaron Rodgers will be under center. Devontae Adams are going to be high-fiving game one as they explode for their third touchdown pass of the game. Aaron Rodgers, 345 yards passing. What, maybe 27 of 32? Devontae with 9 catches for 161 and 2 scores game one right out of the gate. Let's not panic here in Green Bay. And the smile on everybody's face out there, and they say, you know what, Donnie was right. I now have a plus 150 in my pocket to win the division, and I now have a total ticket in my pocket of 8.5 wins at minus 120 when after the 11th game of the season, they've already hit it, Kevin. Absolutely, we're taking this. Go, Pack, go.
The tremendous thing about this is Donnie and I are going to agree on all of the Green Bay numbers. Yet we don't entirely agree on everything about Rodgers' certainty. Because for whatever reason, I'm all the way in on Matt LaFleur coaching up Jordan Love. Listen, Aaron Rodgers is phenomenal. An argument to be made, the league's best quarterback. He just won MVP. They've won 13 games the last two seasons, each of the last two seasons. The number's 8.5. And he might be back. Of course you take this. For, like, here's the question, Donnie, right? Because we always try and read into the numbers, right? Is that a full no Aaron Rodgers number? Or are you telling me that their win total is 7 if Aaron Rodgers is legitimately gone? 6.5? Like, what's the number if Rodgers is gone?
That is the exact number. Like, you're looking at that, they already have factored in the 8.5 that Aaron Rodgers. Like, why would you lower it to that then? If you're the sports books and you feel that he's going to retire, you would lower to a halfway point at this. Well, we don't really want to go to 6.5 if he leaves. Keep in mind, it's still a very good football team around in Green Bay and also a good head coach at this point. And yes, you had a young kid. This isn't a true rookie that's going to be starting his first game. He's been in the building now for what, 16, 18 months. And if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play, the kid probably took all the OTA snaps. He's going to take them all through, you know, the preseason games. He'll be ready once game one comes up there. So you're correct. This 8.5 is saying Aaron Rodgers will not be back at this point, because I'm going to ask you this one question, Kevin. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't appear and it's 8.5, then they drop it to 7.5 or 7 as a flat number. That means that, you know, 17 games on the schedule, 7-10. Keep in mind, they're not playing in the NFC West where they're going up against great football teams. I keep on getting back to the point. If Aaron Rodgers shows up to camp, look at the teams he's playing against in the division. That's where you're going to get your wins from. That's where you can get into the playoffs by beating your own division. They're not very good football teams overall. So even if Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up and Jordan Love is there, why can't they win those games in that poor division?
It's unbelievable to me that this... No, because... Donnie, ultimately, I agree with you, but, like, there's no way they posted a full no Rodgers number, right? Like, there's no... So is this number really going to be a 7 if he doesn't show up? Like, as you mentioned here, like, 7-10 is a push. Like, this team goes out there and goes 9-8. One number, one above 500, and you'll cash this ticket? I mean, even if, like... Just ask yourself this. If I tell you it's Jordan Love and not Rodgers, I still think most people would project them as the second best team in the division, because Dalton and Goff are the other two quarterbacks here. That 8.5 number is so incredible. And trust me, I've been doing this nonstop all weekend. I keep refreshing the make the playoff market here to know what the make the playoff market would be on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Like, I've tried to, like, pull up teams with comparable numbers and get a sense of, like, what their position will be. Like, are we talking about a plus number? If they had to post it right now, Donnie, on Green Bay to make the playoffs?
Maybe so. Maybe so. And to get back to your last point here, we're all humans the way we bet, right? And the common sports bettor will look today and say, let's just say Deshaun Watson is on the move. The minute Deshaun Watson gets traded, the first look from a common sports gambler, I got to bet the Houston Texans under because Watson's not there. You should already know he's not going to be there this year. So there's no real value in that. But also the same way you look at Green Bay at the 8.5. What is the first way a common sports bettor is going to think? Not to take the Green Bay over, but to be like, I need to pound that under 8.5. So then you would sit on it and say, okay, and you're looking to take the Green Bay over. You wouldn't jump in right away. The minute the news comes out, you're not jumping in right away to take the Green Bay over as if that number's going to go from 8.5 to 9 because Love is going to be the starter. You're going to wait that out. It's just common psychology from the sports gambler that the minute there's bad news, you immediately hammer the unders in those environments, and then you take a look at those pieces of how low the number is going to go and start betting the futures of them going over. The Texans at 4, oh, people want to bet the under 4. Think about that. That means 3 wins you need or less to cash that ticket, which is insanity. But again, getting back to the psychology of gamblers, bad news, we look to bet against it right away.
It's just fascinating stuff here. There's a lot of more things I want to add into the mix here. We're, you know, star quarterback, a guy that thinks he's a star. Gardner Minshew gets himself going over the weekend here with an outrageous quote, one I can't necessarily read in full, but he said, in preparation for the competition against Trevor Lawrence, I haven't used the restroom fully because number 2 isn't an option for me, a bar, if you will. I could see that perhaps in a Lil Wayne song. Donnie, before we even get to the week 1 lines, Gardner Minshew has a chance to start for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Look, the easiest way I can answer this, Kevin, and I know I saw the Gardner Minshew, you know, comments that he made about where he wants to be in line, doesn't want to be the number 2 on the football team. Let me tell you this, right, Gardner Minshew. Trevor Lawrence could lose his throwing arm over the next 2 weeks, and he would still be the starting quarterback on the Jacksonville Jaguars over Gardner Minshew. He has no shot. You draft the number 1 guy overall where he is going to be your quarterback for the foreseeable future. You have absolute shot to be the starter there, Kevin. That's how confident I am in Gardner Minshew being the number 2, as he likes to say.
I think Tebow's got a better chance to grab a start over Gardner Minshew. Just because they're like, yeah, it's Tebow. What are we talking about? Who told him that he was in a competition? He's not. Trevor Lawrence is.
I love the moxie, though. Like, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, but it's it's outrageous, which now ties in very nicely to a little take it or leave it here for us, Donnie, in week number 1. A game that Gardner Minshew was like, man, I can't believe I got to compete against Tyrod Taylor. How do you feel about the Texans +3 week 1 in their home building against Jacksonville?
Look, if Tyrod Taylor's the starter in this game and they're at home, wouldn't you be nuts, Kevin, not to take the Texans? Look, I know all the bad offseason publicity that they've had, right? But Tyrod Taylor is going to be under center. He's played dozens of games in the NFL, including playoff games. So I'm led to believe here that Trevor Lawrence is going to come to town with the worst team in football last year and as a rookie with 80,000 screaming fans in a packed house on opening day, which usually every single team in the league, Kevin, thinks they can win a Super Bowl before they actually get their brains beat out over the first 4 weeks of the season. Yeah. I'm taking the +3 points right here. I am taking the Texans as a dog at home. A rookie quarterback with a new head coach in an organization that was atrocious last year. Give me the Texans.
I love Trevor Lawrence. I'm excited about what the Jaguars are going to do this season. You have to take the 3 points. You have to take the 3 points here. If we're doing simple home field advantage math, right, of 3 points for home field advantage, that means on a neutral field, the Jaguars would lay 6. And if this game was in Jacksonville, they'd lay 9? No! No, they would not. Not in the world. Fans are back, by the way. Like, that's... No! Absolutely not! Again, what if it's Gardner Minshew, by the way? I absolutely love that Gardner Minshew thinks he's starting that game. He's been watching Tyrod film all
so
week long
brand.
Just to see his competition. Let me add an NFL odds boost that's opened up here for today. I can't wait for NFL odds boost here, Donnie. They got a little parlay for us. The Bucks, the Bills, and the Chiefs all to win week 1, up from +155 to +190. Take it or leave it.
I'm going to leave this one on the table here. They're all 3 home teams. They're all 3 favored by about a touchdown. Should they all win? Yes. You're taking a look at the Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers opening game, getting your ring ceremony, the big trophy. They'll probably win that game, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers going in against the Buffalo Bills. I don't know about that. And then you take a look at Cleveland and Kansas City. they're three good football teams that you're going up against, the three that you need to win. You need all three to take down a plus one. I'm leaving that on the table. Crazy things happen, Kevin, here in week one of the NFL. I'm out on this one.
Not only am I leaving it, and this is not the people who are like odds boosts or automatic curses, things must go wrong. No, this is just, this doesn't work. Oh, I'll take the three biggest favorites and cash a ticket, no problem. The other day, the Rockies beat the Dodgers and the Pirates beat the Giants on the road. And I was like, you just parlay and the next day, there's no way that happened again. You lost that parlay. Something's going to go wrong. Either Dallas, Pittsburgh, or the Browns will probably, one of them will win, if not more than one of them. I have to leave it. But I am excited for NFL odds boost season. Speaking of Major League Baseball, we make that transition next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are right back here on the Early Line. We're going to make the transition over to Major League Baseball, though every single time my phone flashes here with an alert, I'm like, oh, is now about to be a must? You know, is now the moment? Is now the moment? Is now the moment? There's some updates coming out. Green Bay, they're going to do a press conference. Oh, I'm sure that'll go well. Russ just signed an exclusive deal. Good for him. All irrelevant. We're transitioning over to Major League Baseball. I'm very excited about it. We have a board to break down. We got to squeeze in a little bit of recap here. We certainly do not have time to talk about the Yankees sweeping the Red Sox. It did not go that way. It could have. It did not go that way. But we do have to talk about a massive trade, of course, Donnie, that involves the San Diego Padres and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Adam Frazier, all-star. San Diego, going for it. I like that from the Padres. They've kind of been the forgotten son of the NL West because the Dodgers are the Dodgers and the Giants are the best team in baseball, at least according to their record here. What'd you make of this move from San Diego?
Unbelievably loved it. I mean, when you take a look at a betting perspective from the Pittsburgh Pirates, I've told you before, like, I'm waiting for that team to get completely healthy, maybe Moran to come back, and they would have those sneaky team totals, 3.5s, 4s, 4.5s, and be able to hit those. Now you're trading your best player off of that roster, a 29-year-old guy, out to the West Coast and the NL West. My same theme I've been talking with Kevin over the last week and a half, as we approach this trading deadline in Major League Baseball, the rich are going to get richer. So we try to flip it over into, like, a betting aspect of it, of what Frazier actually means to the Padres. You can't have enough good baseball players, and that's going to hold its form throughout the rest of the summer because you can't factor in injuries. That's certainly a great depth move, but Frazier, you plug him right in to be a leadoff batter. He is a sensational bat, but when you take a look about winning the division, because that's what most people would look forward to, hey, how do the Padres actually factor into winning the NL West? I actually eschew that market, Kevin. I say, I don't even want to look at that now because take a look at the winning of the National League overall as it is. The Dodgers still sit there at a plus 175, but how about the second place team here, Kevin? Plus 450, the San Diego Padres. Why would you bet them to win the division? They're a really good baseball team. They can beat anybody. But the simple fact is, can they make up a 5, 5.5 game margin over two teams and jump them throughout the rest of the summer when you're already thinking they can make the playoffs? Why worry about that number? Take the bigger margin to win the NL because you're taking a look at the 450 price. There's a much more realistic chance that they can win at that price than they can in their own division. Great move by the Padres. Love it. And I'm a team total guy, as I said. That lineup is going to look absolutely strong for the rest of the summer, Kevin.
I love the move from the Padres. There's no reason for them not to be aggressive. They are still considerably favored to make the postseason. I struggle with the fact that the two favorites in the National League at the moment are supposed to be in the wild card. I think that's a very difficult thing, the way it currently is slated. You know, if you wanted to take a throw on them at 5-1 to make up that 5.5 game deficit that they're currently at, I am not mad at it. I think I will end up being interested in Padres futures numbers, but probably I will be waiting until the postseason bracket is set. I need to know if they're playing the Dodgers in the wild card game in a one-game elimination or however that is going to look. That's all very important information. But as Donnie said, it is a huge boost to San Diego. I have to bring this up, though, on the Pirates side, Donnie. They move Adam Frazier, and this is something that, you know, you've made points about with a couple of organizations, and it makes a lot of sense in terms of, listen, everybody wants to be sellers. Just because you're bad doesn't mean you have to get rid of all of your good players. Guy Adam Frazier is 29. Do we think that Brian Reynolds is going to get moved on from, okay, Frazier's 29. Brian Reynolds is 26 years old. Like, that's the kind of player you need in your organization here. Do you think the Pirates move on from Reynolds?
It wouldn't surprise me here. I mean, their leadership has said, you know, legitimately over the past couple of years, like, don't worry about winning baseball. Just come out and enjoy a day of baseball in a great ballpark. I guess it's what you get. You're lucky to be a Pittsburgh Pirates fan at this point, Kevin, where they just, as long as they have Major League Baseball in town, where you can go out and have a hot dog and a beer, root on your team, and you never have a chance to win, as opposed to moving guys. Because some of these moves would make much more sense, Kevin, if it was that this is the last year you had him, right? Whether it be Reynolds or this is the last year under control for Adam Frazier, and you say, look, he Scott Boras is his agent. He's not re-signing back with us. We can't afford $190 million over 5 years for Adam Frazier out of the leadoff hole. I would understand it, but you have him under control for another year. Aren't you supposed to win? Isn't that the goal of a Major League Baseball organization, as opposed to saying, like, where's your scouts and your front office guys? Hey, let's get some more prospects. Why? So in 2 or 3 years, you can flip those prospects as well for something to maybe push it down the line in the future. Look at the moves they made. Gerrit Cole, Glasnow, Austin Meadows. Nothing has worked in their favor, and now they're getting rid of one of their best players. It doesn't make any sense from a competitive standpoint, because you're not losing him next year, Kevin. If it doesn't work next year, you don't get up to a hot start, then move him at the deadline. But before the time, that doesn't make any sense to me.
I want to make one more point here from a recap perspective, because last night I'm watching Sunday Night Baseball, and this started to become something I was thinking about more and more as I was watching the series between the Chicago White Sox and the Milwaukee Brewers. If the Dodgers and the Astros were to play, right, earlier in the season, if I told you Dodgers-Yankees would play, you'd go, ooh, this could be a World Series preview. And I'm not sure that people are saying that enough about that series between the Brewers and the White Sox. The six starting pitchers, five of them are All-Stars this year. Peralta, Barnes, Lynn, Rodon, Woodruff. The non-All-Star is Lucas Giolito, who had the third best odds to win AL Cy Young preseason and is a high pedigree pitcher. A-plus bullpens for both of those teams. I like the White Sox lineup a little bit better, but there are still All-Stars within that Brewers lineup here. Donnie, am I going a little bit too far, or did that feel like a series to you that very well could have been a World Series preview between the Brewers and the White Sox?
It was fantastic, and for once, you get that breath of fresh air on Sunday Night Baseball. We're used to seeing the Yankees or the Boston Red Sox, you know, the Los Angeles Dodgers. It was nice that you had those two Mid-American teams here playing between the White Sox and the Brewers and putting on a show with some really good baseball. There are talented superstars on both sides, but when you look at it most, Kevin, starting pitching and bullpen is what is going to propel you to a division championship, league championship, or World Series. Both of these ball clubs have that. Take a look at just last night alone. Lance Lynn now 10-3 on the mound. Six innings, one earned run, six Ks, nice and tidy, 98 pitches there. Then you flip it over to the other side with Woodruff, who actually got the loss. Seven innings, nine Ks, three earned runs. If you're getting power front-end pitching like both of these ball clubs get, and you have power arms in the back of that bullpen, and you just need clutch at-bats, if you're looking at these teams side-by-side, do we probably like the White Sox roster better? Yeah, there's a lot more talent on that side with the ability from, you know, each side of the plate, lefties and righties. But you still get clutch hitting from the Brewers side, and yes, we still have about a week to go before the trade deadline comes up. I'm waiting for the Brewers. Like a guy like Adam Frazier, boy, that would have looked really nice on the Brewers. You know, maybe subbing in there with Colton Wong could be your everyday second baseman, leadoff guy batting about 300. But I'm interested to see what type of moves these teams make, because they do have prospects, particularly the Brewers on their side, a smaller market team the way they operate. But now maybe you're getting a little bit of pressure. Take a look at the Bucks; they just won a championship. Now it's time for the Brewers to step up and get on the back page of their sports section.
Unbelievable stuff. I just really enjoyed that series. I think the possibly the two best teams in baseball. And I think that could have been a World Series preview, and I wanted to make that point here. Let's preview tonight's slate with the time that we have left here. Boston, Toronto meet once again. This is a big series here. Toronto now losing a little bit of grip of the rope. Gotta be honest, love to see it. Bet this team to miss the postseason. I feel good about that wager right now. They're going to try and hit Pivetta this go around here at Fenway Park, Don. Another big time total with these teams meeting here at 10.5.
Yeah, Pivetta leaking a little bit of oil here on the season, Kevin. XFIP number 4.70, which is a little bit elevated. When we take a look at his strikeout percentage on the season as a whole, Kevin, it's close to 27% of the batters he's faced he struck out, which is great in Major League Baseball. If we take a look again, these are season totals to lefties, a 293 weighted on base average and an ISO power number of 161. That's very good. A little bit elevated to righties. Now, we do know the power that's going to come to the plate for the Toronto Blue Jays, but let's take a look, Kevin, over the last 30 days and how some of these numbers do change. XFIP still hanging around that 4.77 rate. K percentage drops a little bit from 27.5 down to 23.5, but here's the issue that we have. As I talked about on the season whole, handling left-handed batters fairly well, he jumps to a 333 weighted on base average and a 233 ISO power number over the last 30 days. Now let's take a look from a Blue Jays lineup perspective here, Kevin, over that last 30 days from just their hitters going up against right-handed pitching. George Springer, 398 weighted on base average, Guerrero, 411, Simeon, 363, Bichette, 380, Hernandez, 356, Grichuk, 331, Biggio, 330, Gurriel, 392. Bringing up the rear is McGuire, 235. But you're looking at 8 of your 9 hitters over the last 30 days raking right-handed pitching, and then taking a look at a pitcher who struggled a little bit more over the last 30 days than his seasonal averages. So I'm looking for some runs here. Tiny ballpark in Fenway. I think the Blue Jays can get after Pivetta, but also you might want to take a look at Pivetta early in this game, like a first five, because once you get to that Red Sox bullpen, Kevin, as you know, they're a pretty good bullpen. They can lock things up at the end of the game.
Yeah, they certainly can, unlike the Yankees bullpen. Oh, my goodness gracious, what a
infield in, Kevin. Infield in. Come on now.
Let me just move on, please, with anything it has to potentially even do with that team here. How about the Angels and the Rockies? Shohei takes the mound here against Colorado. They got themselves back up to 500 after being able to close out that series against the Minnesota Twins. The Rockies finding a little bit of success, certainly very competitive against the Dodgers in that set there at Dodger Stadium. Ohtani versus Marquez here, Donnie. Angels rather, minus 164 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. That total, 7.5, 8, 8.5 right now, depending on when you get in at it.
Yeah, it seems a little bit of light for a reason here, but when you take a look on the season overall, Germán Márquez has been pretty good. Let's keep in mind, people, he pitches in Colorado, and so is an XFIP number of 3.78 and a K percentage of 25.4%. Once again, I can't harp on this point more. In 2021, yes, this is a Colorado Rockies pitcher. Take a look at his weighted on base averages to both lefties and righties, Kevin. And again, 320 is that normal margin. Anything above 320 is a weighted on base average is elevated. Anything below that as a pitcher is very good. 303 to lefties, 260 to righties, Kevin. And look at his ISO power numbers here. Doesn't matter that he's pitching a lot of his games in thin air. 0.098 to lefties is an ISO power number, and to righties, a 0.134. It's Ohtani or nothing. So you see that Ohtani pop up. Hey, 160 range. Where do I sign up? Going against a terrible Colorado team on the road. But Germán Márquez is a decent pitcher. I don't want to say live dog here because we know, Kevin, the MVP is on the mound here. I'm expecting 6 innings, 7 innings, 3 hits, right? Maybe 1 earned run, 7 or 8 Ks, and then maybe a home run at the plate. But this is a decent dog money price here to take for the Colorado Rockies because Germán Márquez is the ace of the Colorado staff. The one thing we know, outside of Ohtani at the plate and on the mound, what else do we have to cheer for here for the Angels? Maybe that dog price, Kevin. Maybe that dog price here on the Rockies.
It could be a great live betting game as well. First five under. The number's 4.5, juiced on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Ohtani is pitching to a sub-2 ERA at home this season. And Donnie mentioned there, Germán Márquez, an all-star season for him as well. Donnie, what about Phil's Nats? Under the radar, the Nationals just got swept by the Baltimore Orioles. Season-changing series, potentially, for Washington. Maybe thinking, okay, you know what? This might not be our year. The Phils able to take the final two off of Atlanta. Got some excellent pitching out of Aaron Nola. Howard versus Ross. What do you think about this matchup?
to keep it quick here, the Phillies should win this game. Washington's probably going to be sellers at this point, right? Because they seem to be drifting farther away, specifically with that last series against the Orioles. But let's keep in mind, Spencer Howard expected to be on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies. He is a three-inning pitcher. Do the math. That means 6 innings of the Philadelphia Phillies bullpen at home in Philadelphia. This is not one of those, Kevin, where I say, where do I sign up on the Phillies? It's where do I get out of this and try to look for a live betting equation on the Nationals? Maybe Howard goes 3 innings with shutout performance. Then I'm looking to dip in on those live lines for the Washington Nationals, Kevin. Maybe 2.5, maybe 3 at that point. That's the way I'm looking in this game.
Yeah, that game to the over could be interesting there. I know Donnie and I will be breaking that down on In Play Sports tonight as well, so make sure you check it there. Ariel joins Donnie next to let you know what's coming up on The Morning After.
Sports info.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day today for the early line on a Monday, and yes, it was very action-packed. Came into the day talking a little bit of basketball, maybe a little baseball, and then we were shocked at some of the developments here in the NFL. And sometimes 2 hours just isn't enough. And you know what? We got 3 hours coming up next on The Morning After with Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. A lot to go over and cover. The morning never changes with the topics here, Ariel. Welcome into the show on a Monday. How you doing out there?
The NFL is back, ready to go. I'm so excited because it just feels as if this morning was the start of it all, Donnie.
No, absolutely correct. And I mean, immediately when the news comes out here on Deshaun Watson, now the phones are being, you know, answered, so to speak, there for the Texans to try to move him in the offseason before training camp gets underway. He shows up to camp. He's the good soldier. He's not placed on the exempt list just yet for the commissioner's offense. So business as usual, and every team now going to be jumping in who's eligible. Will it be the Denver Broncos? Will it be the Philadelphia Eagles? What is the compensation going to go for? And oh, yeah. That's not the only quarterback that possibly could be on the move or looking to retirement. That is also, Ariel, somebody on the Green Bay Packers, quite famous as well.
The Aaron Rodgers situation is heating up also. It would be the biggest news, second to maybe what we're... It would probably pass Andrew Luck because the difference was Andrew Luck came out of left field. No one saw Andrew Luck retiring from the NFL at such a young age from the Colts who were just building around him. No one really saw it coming. The Aaron Rodgers saga, we've been waiting for the update. At this point, I wouldn't think anyone who's been on top of this story would be overly surprised to watch Rodgers retire. Yet he has so much football left in him. This is the reigning MVP of the league. He probably wants to win another Super Bowl. Now, is it going to be a Conor McGregor situation where he just says he's retiring and in a year from now he comes back? That's what we have to wait and see.
It's going to be interesting stuff here because when you take a look at the Green Bay Packers now shifting around odds to win the division at now a plus 150, also looking at some team totals that might be factored in quarterbacks being on the move, the Denver Broncos now sitting at an eight and a half, the Texans at a 4, and the Philadelphia Eagles at a 6.5. Deshaun Watson coming to the Philadelphia Eagles would shake up the NFC East for sure, but stay tuned for The Morning After, 3 hours with Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. We are out of here on the early line. For myself, Donnie Wrightside, along with Kevin Walsh, we'll see you tomorrow.
Non-stop live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. What are you not gonna...
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.